And now, more tips with your host, Rebecca, on lifestyle improvement.
And remember that in our program, we present our opinion and the opinion of our guest, and is not to be interpreted as medical advice.
Thank you so much for joining us today here on Lifestyle Improvement for part two of our interview with Dr. Suzanne De La Monte. Dr. Suzanne De La Monte is an associate professor of pathology and medicine at Brown University and the doctor who coined the term type 3 diabetes in reference to Alzheimer's disease.
Yes, medium chain fatty acids are very good for the brain.
Absolutely, and you mentioned coconut. And yeah. Olive oil, I guess, is another one.
Olive oil is the staple, but you know the other oil, the avocado oils and the nut oils. These are all good for you. Mm-hmm. You can't go. I don't think you can go wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the things that concerns me sometimes is that a large number of people are on statins. And statins, you know, their whole role is to suck out the cholesterol from things. Mm-hmm. And the brain has an awful lot of cholesterol and lipids in it. And there is some controversy about whether it interferes with cognition and function.
Mm-hmm.
There are a bunch of people who write about it. And you know, there's just something to be aware of and mm-hmm. for people to, you know, if they sense that taking the statins makes them feel foggy and they don't feel right,
mm-hmm.
it's worth asking whether you need to take as much as you do and what are the outcomes of it. Because there is a controversy about whether or not they interfere with brain function. I think that's worth knowing. So at least people ask the questions.
That is really great information. And of course, you know, our program is dedicated to caregivers, and that's why we're giving all this great information, because a lot of us as caregivers are caring for people that have many of these illnesses, as you've been talking about. So we can concentrate better on what it is that we're eating ourselves, caring for ourselves as caregivers, and then the people we care for. And that advice about those good oils, plant-based oils, is a great thing to take in mind as you are doing your planning for your diets. The other part that I had a question about that I have seen also in some of the readings concerning your work has been the question about the nitrates and just how that is everywhere, how you can hardly get away from it, but yet is something that definitely needs to be looked at and one needs to pay attention to, right?
I think that's absolutely on top of my list. And I really think that it's probably one of the top stories to pay attention to. We've been a little bit quiet with our nitrates and nitrites because we're doing some pretty important research that we're publishing. And, you know, you shouldn't be talking about things before they get on the printed page. So we try to be careful about it. The basic thing is when we were looking at there were a few circumstances that led to the idea that our nitrites and nitrosamines that we're putting in food is the problem, one of the main problems that contributes to this explosion of insulin resistance diseases. The first is that, remember I was telling you about the experiment where we didn't make a mistake with the experiment, but we got an outcome that we weren't looking for. Well, the agent we used is an agent that makes diabetes. And so, but it was accomplishing what we wanted. And then in retrospect, looking at the molecule, many, many people have used it before, but they never asked, what is this chemical? And it turned out that the chemical was a nitrosamine. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is crazy. And we weren't using high doses. And just so the audience knows, nitrosamines are the things that are present in processed foods and red meats, and they're used to preserve the color and the flavor. And if you charcoal grill it and with the nitrosamines, good luck, because that's not a good story. And so I keep telling or making the comment, because I'm hopeful that the meat industry will pay attention to it. And I know that some have. I know I don't want to mention names of companies, but some companies have taken it out of the red meat. So that's good news. Mm-hmm. But anyway, to get back to the story, after realizing that the substance we used to make the neurodegeneration was a nitrosamine, that led to a whole bunch of studies looking at nitrosamines themselves, the kind that we find in our foods. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that in the 1930s or 40s, when they started deliberately adding sodium nitrite to food, why? Because people were afraid that people would come down with salmonella. Mm-hmm. So it was meant to block salmonella. And you think, wow. Mm-hmm. And the government knew that you didn't quite need so much, but no policy was put in place to stop putting so much in. And so they kept putting it in, and it makes the meat look very red when in fact it's really not. And it makes the flavor stain, and it also allows you to ship it for 3,000 miles and nobody noticed it because the light contamination doesn't get it. And the other concern is that sometimes they don't add it immediately, it gets added later on, and so it may not say it's in the, I don't know how much is representative of what's listed in the package. But in any event, when you give the same nitrosamines to animals that's found in our food, you produce neurodegeneration, just like Alzheimer's. You produce diabetes. You produce fatty liver disease. Hmm. You produce metabolic syndrome, and on and on and on.
It's crazy.
And it's crazy. And so you think, oh my goodness, how could anybody do this? So everybody I know, nobody touches any of this kind of stuff anymore. And then, by the way, if you combine it with a high fat diet or a diet that makes people obese, the additive effects are incredible. So you have a situation where we are overfeeding the population because they make, I would say, dissolvable foods almost. You don't need to chew it. It just dissolves straight into sugar. And then on top of that, you have these toxins in there that are wrecking your insulin pathway. And we know that it actually interferes with insulin signaling and causes a lot of oxidative injury to cells. And over the long run, it produces irreversible damage. And, you know, we just published a paper on the effects of tobacco smoke, another biggie. And tobacco itself contains nitrosamines. And in low doses, we're always so worried about lung cancer with this. And we've shown that with very low doses of the same nitrosamine that's in tobacco, you can produce fatty liver disease and insulin resistance. And so that, my goodness, you need more than that. And so we have two big whammies. We had the cigarette smoking, which is still present in 25% of our population. And we have the preservatives that are in processed foods all over the place. And I think it's as soon as people are aware of it, you start looking around, read the packages, because they're supposed to say if they have it in it, and honestly do the perimeter shopping and really look for the stuff that doesn't come in a package. You can recognize what it is. You know, buy things that are fruits and vegetables and cut back on the meats and go for fishes and things like that. But you have to be very, very careful because you don't have control over what people are doing to the foods. And all you can do is read the packages and hope that they are, A, it's reliable, and B, that you can manage to afford enough that's clean. I say clean food.
This is your host, Rebecca. And now we will take a short break, and we will be right back with more ideas on lifestyle improvement.
A unique and specialized approach to spinal care is what you will find in the Advanced Spinal Care Clinic in Graham, Washington. Here's Dr. Craig Lipinski explaining why Nuke Care is unlike any other treatment.
Our goal is that we're making a specialized correction to the skull, the atlas, and the neck of each individual that is custom made or custom and specific created to get them healthy and then have them stay that way.
One of only 23 board certified Nuke practitioners in the world, Dr. Craig Lipinski offers you care that can significantly impact your health in positive ways.
This week we've seen somebody in here who's had a 50-point drop in blood pressure by having the skull, atlas, and neck corrected to a proper position.
To find out more about how Nuka Care can change your life, visit www.nuccawashington.com or call 253-445-8181.
Dr. De La Monte, you would say that one good thing to do, in your opinion, would be to definitely include plant-based oils into your diet, especially those like coconut oil and olive oil and avocado oil, and then read your labels.
Absolutely.
To make sure that you're
eating. And don't just read them, actually pay attention to them.
To make sure you're eating what you really think you're eating.
But I know for a fact that there are certain companies that are deliberately putting on there no nitrates or nitrites added. I don't know if that means there was some there and they didn't add any more. But they're supposed to say how much is there, and I think they should be absolutely avoided. There's no reason to have that stuff. There are probably other ways to keep foods from being contaminated, and all the processed foods, I just don't trust any of it. It's just, mm-hmm. It's very scary stuff out there.
Wow. Well, in this coming from a researcher, someone that has spent countless hours doing in-depth research to get this information to us. And we thank you so much. I feel like I've gone to college just now hearing this wonderful explanation. Dr. De La Monte, what else would you like my listeners to get out of this whole concept that you have now come up with, Diabetes 3? As you're trying to let the public know this, and you are getting a little bit of support from the media. I know that you were in Dr. Oz and talked about it. What is the basic thing that you would like to say that you wanted to make sure that if somebody has to pass on to somebody else a piece of information, what would that be?
Well, I think there are a few things. The first is that I think that if you can think of neurodegeneration as something that is not that different from what we're seeing with the obesity and the diabetes epidemics, and therefore many of the lifestyle measures that are used to control those are seeming to have an impact on the brain. Of course, nobody likes to say, oh my gosh, diet and exercise. But you know, just changing, and I'm not... I think you need to change away from the simple sugars, which are part of the problems. You know, people don't know what simple sugars are. They think it's a bowl of sugar. It's not. It's your cereal. You know, it's the pasta that you're eating. And it's not that all pasta is bad. It needs to really be good. You know, in Italy, they have durum pasta. They have durum wheat, and they make a good solid, you know, meal from it. But I think people are not, they're way out of sync with how to cook. And learning to cook is a good idea. Mm-hmm. So I think taking control, repossessing control of your kitchen and your diet and what you're eating will help your whole body habitus. Another thing is the idea of some amount of exercise. And I don't mean it just because you should be going to the gym and knocking yourself out. Mm-hmm. It's known very well that even a small amount, just walking somewhat, will help your insulin responsiveness. So, you know, everybody thinks you have to go out and kickbox and do all this stuff. I mean, I might like to do that, but I don't think everybody else has to do it. And I think you can just have medium-sized exercise, you know, learn how to take a walk after a meal and do some simple things. I think when people start making them do too many things, then you end up having nothing done. And there are lots of things that could be done you know, if you're sitting watching television, you can lift, you know, 2 pound weights and just flex your arms and things like that. So rather than remaining sedentary, you want to do that. And the other thing is that there are remedies that people talk about. For example, some of the things like alpha lipoic acid. Alpha lipoic acid is a great insulin sensitizer and it doesn't do any harm. They talk about magnesium being an important thing that people are not including in their diets. I mean, I will send you a list of things that people probably need to be aware of in terms of making sure they don't become nutrient deficient. I'm not a big proponent of people going after the micronutrients where you take 100 pills of everything, but people need to be aware that by not consuming the proper foods, they're also missing some of these nutrients, and that could be damaging to the brain. The clinical trials that are going on, there were some on the West Coast. You had or still have in Seattle some clinical trials on the insulin pathway and using intranasal insulin, a whole bunch of things like that. I think people who have early cognitive impairment, they should try to enroll in clinical trials because they're going to get a benefit from it. They'll at least get more attention. People will be monitoring you. And especially the ones where they're looking for more of the novel therapies. Some of the older ones, other approaches, I'm not sure I would. I mean, I think it's good to participate. They may be running multiple arms on the study, but these are good to participate in because basically you do get the extra health care, you get the extra monitoring, and you can stay up to date on what people are thinking in the field. So those are pretty good suggestions.
That's awesome. Now, you also mentioned simple and complex sugars. You know, that is a big one because I think that is essential. I'm not sure that publicly people are knowledgeable of what the differences are. And that's part of the problem, right?
Right. I think when people are buying a lot of these packaged and processed foods, it says, for example, it may say whole wheat. And then you look, the next one is refined wheat. And so you say to yourself, well, which is it? And the thing is, it's misrepresenting what you're getting because it may contain some whole wheat, but it may not contain enough. And at the end of the day, the thing is dissolved into, it turns into simple sugars very quickly. And that is challenging the body's ability to manage nutrients. And I think that we have gone into this culture where everything is so simplified and they it's not good food because the breads aren't bread. Mm-hmm. You go to, you know, Germany or someplace, you get bread. I mean, it takes you a while to chew it and get it down because it's so dense. But that's what bread should be. It's a vehicle for other things. But if you're only eating something and it, you know, 2 seconds later, it's in your stomach, that's a little fast. And so I think many of the foods, the cereals, a lot of the packaged cereals, you have to be very careful about them because they're not really good foods at all. Mm. They become very popular. Now they're waning because people are realizing it's making people fat. Mm. And it also contains a lot of sugar. And they just hook kids on it who then, you know, you want to talk about hyperactivity. You just give them too much sugar and they're all over the place. And then you drug them, right, to calm them down. And then you give them sugar for lunch. Boy, what are we doing here? So there's so many elements in our lifestyle that we do to each other, and I think it's a lot of it is fixable. I really do. And I don't think, by the way, that the whole problem is aging, and it gets back to those graphs. And I think the audience should realize that in the studies we did to show that Alzheimer's rates were increasing, if you looked at a 40-year-old, a 50-year-old, a 60-year-old in 2010 and compared it to the same age group in 1980 or 70, the rates of Alzheimer's were much higher in the 2010 or 2006, actually, than they were before. So that's the same age group. Now, you can argue that our caseload is increasing because more people can achieve that. If the rates among the people who are 60 are 3 times higher than they were when they were 30 years ago, it's not the aging at all. It's the fact that they have, something has happened to that group so that they are now more vulnerable. And that's the problem.
Wow. Very, very significant information to keep in mind. Now, Dr. De La Monte, you are writing a book, right?
I am.
And because I was thinking, as you were telling me about the list, I'm thinking, well, that list probably will be in your book, right?
It will be in the book. Yeah. I really, I fully intend to put as many self-help things into the book as possible, because I think that I like to empower people. I think once they understand what they can do without going overboard, they will be at least feel like they're having some control over themselves. And then when, you know, the children come along, they have a rational reason to tell them, this is what you should be eating. This is what you should be doing. And right now, we don't have that good justification. Unfortunately, a lot of the people who aren't listening may not even be in your audience, and we hope to reach them somehow. And that's why sometimes programs like Dr. Oz are very important, you know, because he reaches a broad audience of, right. of people. And sometimes the certainly the print media doesn't reach enough people there. But I'm happy when people from television or radio come, because I like to be able to say, please help do this job,
right.
because those people out there need a lot of help.
Absolutely.
And if a theme isn't very popular among the major media, they don't get the message until it's too late. And then, meanwhile, there are people who can self-help now. And I think that's important.
Right, absolutely. And we're going to podcast this interview. So it will be in the World Wide Web forevermore. So it should be able to reach some people, hopefully, that will be able to get this information. And at that point, like I had shared with you earlier, we will link this to your book. And by the way, do you have a title for your book already?
Well, I don't want to tell you the title because it'll change tomorrow. No,
right.
The thing is, you know, as you go along, your title will modify.
Yes.
So you say,
yes.
Okay, this is what I want to say.
Right.
So you put one title out there, you're in trouble because then you want to change it. I do that all the time. So
could be different tomorrow. Okay,
yes.
Fantastic. Dr. De La Monte, this has been absolutely delightful to talk to you. The level of information that you have to offer is fantastic and so valuable. And the research that you have done is just so significant for humanity that I just thank you. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart that you have taken the time to care about this population that is so needing your help of, researchers that care to try to find a reason and a way to prevent this and to support caregivers out there taking care of people that have this illness. So thank you. Thank you.
You're
so
welcome.
Much. And I hope that when you write your book, you come back to see us, to hear us, and you come and tell us a little bit more about your research and where you are. Would you do that?
Yes, I will. Definitely.
Fantastic. So thank you, Dr. De La Monte, for coming again to Lifestyle Improvement. And we will talk to you hopefully soon.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining us today here on Lifestyle Improvement for part two of our interview with Dr. Suzanne De La Monte. Dr. Suzanne De La Monte is an associate professor of pathology and medicine at Brown University and the doctor who coined the term type 3 diabetes in reference to Alzheimer's disease.
And remember that in our program, we present our opinion and the opinion of our guest, and it's not to be interpreted as medical advice.
Specialized approach to spinal care is what you will find in the Advanced Spinal Care Clinic in Graham, Washington. Here's Dr. Craig Lipinski explaining why Nuke Care is unlike any other treatment.
Our goal is that we're making a specialized correction to the skull, the atlas, and the neck of each individual that is custom made or custom and specific created to get them healthy and then have them stay that way.
One of only 23 board certified Nuke practitioners in the world, Dr. Craig Lipinski offers you care that can significantly impact your health in positive ways.
This week we've seen somebody in here who's had a 50-point drop in blood pressure by having the skull, atlas, and neck corrected to a proper position.
To find out more about how Nuke Care can change your life, visit www.nuccawashington.com or call 253-445-8181.
If you would like to advertise with us, please give us a call at 877-957-7387, extension 101. That again is 877-957-7387, extension 101. Or send us an email to producer@lifestyleimprovement.com. That again is producer@lifestyleimprovement.com. Thank you for listening to our program today, and tune in again next week for more tips on lifestyle improvement.